Chapter 3. Tip Sheet.
Bloodthorn, a message has arrived. We are threatened.
Herald, the news you offer is as thin and old as the blood on your chin.
The rogue Corvin has perished, and Conagon has been sent home. The loyalists have reinforced Gaul Primus with their savants.
How many psykers have they brought?
A dozen arrived today, coincident with Corvin's demise.
It is about time they fought back. More blood will flow and we will gather its power.
They have a dangerous Primaris.
Even better. Spread the word to the Felguard and offer our poorly fed Primaris a bounty for any Imperial psykers he might kill. Further negotiations can wait.
Lord, a missive was sent by the savant that severed Conagon. He said a bitter harvest is about to begin.
That one's blood is thicker than most. I might drool at the thought if you didn't already do it so convincingly.
He wears dead marks of the damned like trophies and calls himself Five.
Most intriguing. The Felguard will protect our remaining savants as the work here continues.
Five, you'll learn to walk without a limp around the commissariat, or our time at the front will be a bloody challenge.
It was already that, and we'd only arrived. I couldn't claim any injury. It would have been an insult to Rovira's tactical shield skills and the way she covered my retreat from a half mile away. Are you saying this will be a stroll in the park if I straighten up?
Oh, it'll be the sweat off the Emperor's balls, but at least it will only be the enemy trying to kill us.
Tempi Azar, my biomancer lead, couldn't resist.
Primaris, didn't you know that Silver starred in a video for the Commissariat? It's still shown to all the Scholar Sykana Sanctionites at orientation. Most agree that the Commissar's bolt pistol stole the scene.
My squadmates still called me Silver, a given name that brought out the alien color of my eyes. I had other names, best saved for another day, and an undying resentment of Commissars. Commissar Trasker Belling hadn't fully disguised an old battle injury as he patrolled the environs of Skola Sykana. He'd been the main impetus behind the strongest iteration of my war shield. I'd spent a year perfecting the skin-tight barrier, and it could stop a missile. How did I know? I'd asked Belling to test it himself and never had any more trouble with the man after that. Primaris Rovira eyed the young Commissar in our midst like a 13th wheel.
Commissars have their fear and good sense removed during their years at a Scola Progenium, so that is to be expected. Keep in mind, we're on a hostile planet, and a Commissar is about to confirm each of you to the rank of Militant Savant. Please pretend like I've taught you something over the past year, and respect the Commissariat for its devotion to duty.
Tempi responded with reality as we saw it.
And what does that buy us?
Commissar Passingan clued us into the fact that he'd been listening all along.
As psykers, you will gain full standing as a citizen of the Imperium, and a chance for your next of kin to be notified of your demise.
I barked a short laugh. See, Tempi, I told you this wasn't such a bad deal. Aren't you glad that you decided to join me? There hadn't been any deciding on anyone's part, mine or theirs. The Imperial Guard had conscripted a talented funnel, and in doing so, allowed me the pick of 10 fellow Sanctionites to fill out 2 of my arcs. I didn't dare tell Tempi her presence was all my doing. It allowed me to imagine that she would have volunteered otherwise. I was 20, at least a year older than the dark-haired Tempi and the rest of the Black Flame cadre. Tempi oversaw our arc of high-voltage biomancers, but thankfully deferred to me most of the time. Her boyfriend Vidal was close enough in age to warm her bed, but she bossed around Skeller, Notch, and Kane like the younger brother she'd once had. That Baltimore Kane was the lead in our brace of 5 telekines made it that much worse for him. Our platoon was Primaris Rovira's greenest unit by far, but we didn't lack for power or dedication. We'd all shipped out from Scola Sykana on Terra a year earlier as 11 newly elevated neonates, trading Scola security collars for the guard channel implants behind our ears. I was the sole exception in that regard. As we were promoted to neonate, I received an upgraded collar, an unwanted gift of the Inquisition, and Rovira never missed a chance to remind me why. I'd been freed of the marks of the warp only to find a more explosive future permanently placed around my neck. Rovira enjoyed dragging me along as her second and in doing so, riled her peers in the Imperial Guard. As a Primaris, her peers were the Guard Generals and their staff, but being a Psyker Lord, she dined at the table with the War Master. As a Psyker with a Physoline-filled leash, I drew everyone's attention like the whistle of an incoming artillery round. Junior Commissar Geronimo Passingen was another unblooded arrival to Aegea V. He was young, maybe 19, and tall for his age. He'd yet to earn his limp. Was he a decent fellow? He was a commissar, skilled in the art of maintaining the morale of troops about to be vaporized, burned, buried alive, or shot dead. He had his methods, and I had mine. The hive city of Gaul Primus functioned as if war was on the farthest horizon and not a heavy mortar's throw away. Roughly 5 miles across, 2 miles tall, and 2 miles deep, the city was a dense, diamond-shaped stack of 190 city sectors. Sited in a half-circle around Primus, its fallen sister cities shared an identical design. We exited the spaceport's tram line and made our way through the tall, busy sector that bisected the city horizontally. The vast area, commonly known as Ground Zero, offered banks of centrally located service lifts, supply ramps, and horizontal movers. The ride in from the defunct spaceport had been swift, and the ride upward into the domain of the theater's command ended far too quickly for the ensuing reception. Officially, my first war was about to begin. Rovira snapped out one quick order as we stepped out of the lift car.
Zip it, Five.
A small group of PDF and Imperial Guard officers, plus a senior commissar, waited to welcome us into the Hive's command center, though welcome might have been too strong a word.
I'm Commissar Donald Bleacher. Thank you for giving Commissar Passingen a ride in.
Like any veteran commissar, Bleacher seemed whole except for the retooled eye socket and the scar that turned his smile into a permanent frown.
I'll be reviewing his notes.
Primaris Rovira stepped out from behind Neonate Vidal and cut the commissar off at the knees.
You'll be doing what?
One of our biomantic psychers was a younger fellow named Skeller, but we called him Skull. Backing up our commanding officer's words, his head flickered with anger like a lightning-filled skeleton. The response was perfect. It left nothing for the commissariat to interpret as anything but excitement, but we all knew better. A ranking officer interceded.
Primaris Rovira, we weren't notified that you would be coming in with the psyker platoon. I'm General Leonid Skivix, the commander of Gaul's remaining forces.
Remaining was the candid key word. Rovira made the introductions.
This is Five in the Black Flame platoon.
As a Lord Primaris, she outranked everyone in the entry hall fronting the lift banks. She presented each of our two arcs to the attending officers. The general ignored the finer details.
They can't get much younger, can they?
General Skivix, age has nothing to do with a psyker's power or innate abilities, and the youngest are often the most stable.
Rovira's advanced age masked a psyker as stable as any I'd ever seen. While I'd begun my career swimming in the crazy end of the pool, one with a private bar and a gang boss wearing a one-piece. Nothing stable about that.
And yet you've got one wearing a termination collar,
said Commissar Bleacher.
Whose idea was that?
Ordo Hereticus. I'd suggest that you don't stand too close to Five in case it accidentally goes off.
I'd grown to love Rovira's sense of humor almost as much as that of my squad mates, as they each took one small step back. The pair of commissars flinched, but did their disciplined best to remain where they were. Bleacher couldn't resist the jab.
And yet he's the platoon lead? And what kind of name is Five?
Commissar, Five has been my security officer for the past year.
Rovira turned to face General Skivix.
He is the funnel, and these are his chosen arcs.
Skivix was less than thrilled.
Primaris, you've brought us an unblooded funnel, one that appears to be a pyro arc short of a full platoon. Will you be staying to lend us a hand in Gaul's defense?
Junior Commissar Passingen did the unthinkable, cutting in and correcting the general.
Not unblooded, sir.
General Skivix seemed uncertain how or who to question about that remark.
Commissar, what do you mean?
There was an exchange when we landed at the spaceport and another on the Valkyrie as we flew in.
Well, what happened?
Passingen shrugged and confessed.
I don't really know, but he didn't have blood on his uniform when we boarded the Valkyrie this morning.
Nobody knew the details but me. We hadn't discussed the morning's initial reception, but this one was easily as daunting. At least the junior commissar took most of the heat.
Then why speak up?
Commissar Bleacher flinched as if he wanted to cuff his junior officer, but he wouldn't dare do so in front of lesser mortals. Rovira crossed her arms.
General Skivix, where is your ranking psyker? And please don't tell me Commissar Bleacher has executed them all.
Only half.
The general chuckled, forgetting where he was, I chuckled back. It might have been a slip on my part, but Bleacher wasn't having it.
The neonate has something to say.
Militant savant. Their boots have landed on contested ground.
She'd warned them, but they failed to take the hint.
As you say, Primaris, they'd best learn what that means.
It meant we were rare yet expendable grunts in the minds of those that mattered. General Skivix turned our attention back to the task at hand.
Primaris, we've been holding on to the cliff's edge and doing our best to avoid being shoved backward into the abyss. In short, I'm very glad you're here.
General, I've seen the reports. Activity is increasing against all of our pockets along the eastern front, but especially in the center around Gaul. We'll hit the enemy where it will hurt them the most.
Straight into the heart of the enemy? Do you think that's wise?
General Skivix wasn't complaining.
I have my reasons, and you have a pocket needing reinforcement before the enemy overruns your position.
Primaris, it seems like your most experienced platoons have been sent elsewhere.
Okay, maybe he was complaining and simply slower in getting there.
General, it allows me to take all the credit when the Felguard around Gaul finally break.
Skivix bowed to the diminutive Psyker Lord.
With you countering their primary threats, I'm sure it will.
Tempi may have nudged him into it, but Vidal asked for us all.
General Skivix, what is a primary threat?
The general nodded his approval at the useful question.
Every army is built with line troops, officers, and primary threats. Primaries can turn a battle on their own. A Hellblade tank with a crack crew is a primary threat. The Adeptus Astartes are primaries, as are sanctioned Psykers. You, young man, are one in the making, as are all of your mates. Primaris Rovira is a threat on a larger scale. A cardinal threat, if you will. Inquisitors are primaries, and yes, we have an Ordo Hereticus team on hand to help identify and counter the leaders of the rebellion. Unfortunately, we have very few primary threats on our side compared to the Felguard and their beastly brethren. Our guard ranks are dug in, waiting for the next attack, but they end up as so much fodder when facing the powers the arch-enemy wields. Please know that your presence here will make a difference.
I was beginning to like General Skivix, especially with the commissars being left off of his list, but nothing got past Donald Bleacher or his electromechanical eye.
Do you have something to add, Five?
The Dean of Scola Sicana had kept his promise. I was where I needed to be. I shook my head, thinking I'm good. Just point me to the front. Rovira had heard enough.
General, I think we're ready for a formal sit-rep and a full set of introductions. I hope you're prepared. We want to deploy the Black Flame cadre where they will be the most effective.
Primaris, please bring your second. We'll give the others a place to rest until our joint plan coalesces. To your earlier question about my ranking Psyker, the truth is we don't have one. We lost Primaris Kano and his entire Savant platoon when our first line of defense collapsed east of Gull Quartus. The survivors from that day were few.
I'd been studying Primaris Rovira for the past year, and I knew her tells. The merest flicker of her eyes told me she'd been blindsided by the news. Somewhere in the pre-deployment briefings, a few critical details had been withheld. Rovira took a moment to absorb the loss and say a prayer for the Psykers lost. She offered an epitaph filled with comforting wisdom for everyone around her.
Kano was young. Don't let it go to your heads.
The planning room dwarfed any I could have imagined. The rest of the Black Flame platoon could have slept on the meeting table and not been noticed by those in attendance. A two-story screen, tagged Theater Gaul, displayed a map of the central region. It encompassed a half-circle of fallen hive cities, hemming in Gaul Primus with its back to the Great Rift. Gaul Secundus was due north, Sextus due south, and Quartus due east, each 10 miles distant. Tertius and Quintus were northeast and southeast, respectively. Imperial Guard divisions formed defensive lines around Primus, with the lightly equipped PDF held in reserve. Several brigades of mechanized forces and a brigade of Hellblade tanks were parked beneath the dome shield that protected the one remaining loyalist city. Our artillery support was safely sited west of the rift, but would only be used for counter-battery fire or as a last resort in case Gaul Primus was being overrun. Nobody was ready to shell the 5 fallen cities, at least not yet. That all the fallen cities still powered a nominal dome shield was an encouraging sign, but the density of human lives within each hive city was a time bomb waiting to explode. Machine spirits and engineering resources were always the most critical aspects of any hive survival, with cultists and war vying for second place. One could utterly destroy a hive in a few short days if water, plumbing, or air recyclers went offline. I couldn't imagine the fates of the untold millions of citizens, but I already had a solid grasp of the beings that put them at risk. We were introduced to Inquisitor Gastonia Agrimon of Ordo Hereticus and her second. They were admirers of the Primaris, but seemed to struggle with my introduction as her second and Psyker platoon lead. While the question of blood never came up, my Hereticus collar certainly piqued Agrimon's curiosity. General Skivix held theater command. The Defender's tank and mechanized divisions under General Kuiper were part of a founding from the Tarkanian system. They fancied themselves landlocked raiders. With the fall of Gaul's outermost cities, they had nowhere to go. Their commander had done well keeping them out of the hands of the traitor guard, but their presence was merely a prize for the taking. A breakout plan had been considered, but there wasn't enough fuel left to get them anywhere of use. The PDF lead came next and hit a bit too close to home with his confident smile. General Ivan Tomaker had escaped from Gaul Secundus with his immediate family as their hive's defensive shields began to waver. They had taken up residence in the Primus Overhive with Lord Governor Claxton Barthel and his entourage of family, attendants, and staff. The governor was perfectly secure within his massive tower and unlikely to attend any strategic planning sessions. Last came the Imperial Guard divisions. General Katrina Spencer of the Carlsbad Rifles with 3 divisions and General Julius McMartin of the Fulcrum 10th Legion with 10. They had 12 infantry divisions on the line, roughly 1 division per mile, with 1 Fulcrum division placed in reserve. Each division leveraged a network of underground facilities and trenches for movement along the heavily contested front lines. I was supposed to remain speechless for the meeting and found myself glad. I could barely breathe knowing that the most recent founding from my homeworld of Fulcrum 4 was present. My older brother Ramsey would be here if he had made it this far, but I didn't dare unzip it to ask. Primaris Rovira led me to a seat at the big table, and her quarter smile, maybe 3/8, hinted at the reason for my destination planet and zone. She'd picked out that detail ahead of time and offered me a sniff of home, knowing that the leash she held for the guard was unbreakable. The Primaris sat to my left, while on my right, Junior Commissar Geronimo Passingen looked even more conflicted than I felt. One seat over, Commissar Bleacher held the Junior Commissar's fate in his gnarly, scar-backed hands. Across the table, Inquisitor Agrimon began the meeting with a concise situation report, and her gaze seemed to focus heavily on the sole Primaris in the room. Big things were being planned, and options whittled down. One could almost see the possibilities flitter across her face as she spoke. A Psyker is trained and vetted for the limited time it takes Ordo Hereticus and the proctors at Schola Psychana to determine one's threat versus trust versus value rating. I was on the older end of the Sanctionite scale and had completed the initial process in a year. On the other hand, an Inquisitor spent decades building their view of the universe, honing their ability to identify every threat and solving for any variable they encountered. With a clear complexion and the barest hint of bodily aging, Inquisitor Agrimon looked to be 45 or a well-kept 50. While she spoke calmly to the general's staff, her eyes screamed of centuries steering past the pitfalls of chaos. Agrimon had spies everywhere, trying to pin down the locations of key enemy units and sort out individual threats. The seeds of a blood cult had first taken root in the fertile soil of the lower hives. Its pall had spread like a curse, weakening the minds of the defenders to the point that Gaul Cluster was now one of many zones overrun with heretics, traitor guardsmen, and the deeply wrong Felguard fiends. The Felguard were sparse but unmatched, cleaving away the Imperial Guard's morale with each passing day. Traitor guardsmen were plentiful and living off the rations of the surrounding cities. Harvesting the desperation of the fallen hives, blood cultists were a growing concern. They made up in numbers and zeal what they lacked in discipline, armor, or training. Each contested zone along the Great Rift had a chaos-bound lieutenant, a ruthless entity known to the cultists as the Bloodthorn. Hidden somewhere within Gaul Cluster, it was presumed to be a demon host, the birth seed for a powerful warp demon. harvesting the lives and blood energy of its citizens. Having burrowed into a hive city populated with 100 million bodies, living or dead, the Supreme Minion would be well-fed and nearly impossible to track down. As the enemy's primary threats, Felguard hunted all along the front lines, terrorizing and demoralizing the loyalist troops. The warp-tainted beings were nearly unstoppable in the eyes of the guard troopers that experienced their wrath. The more infamous a fiend, the more ruinous it became to the Imperial Guard and its morale. With a black reputation, each enemy primary was named and tracked by the Inquisition, but there was little Agrimunt could do on her own to counter the beasts. They'd tried, and it hadn't gone well. The Inquisitor let slip that Imperial Guard units were taking bets as to which of the Felguard assassins would be the next through the lines, with an over-under on the number of victims for each possible sortie. General McMartin quickly explained that this was a guard thing. While the betting didn't exactly bolster morale, it distracted and kept units from disintegrating completely. From the look on Commissar Bleacher's face, I doubted he had come up with the scheme. Feth. The creatures I'd met at the spaceport were suitably nasty and would certainly qualify as Felguard. They had to be on the list, but there was only one way to find out. I raised my hand, bringing the briefing to a halt. Inquisitor Agrimunt, what sort of odds would one get on an appearance of the three? Agrimunt took a moment to check her notes and replied with a modicum of surprise.
Even odds with 39 being the expected number of slain.
Place your bets. Even odds meant that roughly once every other day, the Felguard trio took out a full platoon of guardsmen, officers and all. My mouth began to water, and I stood up scanning the big map. My brother's division, the first division of the Fulcrum 10th Legion, was planted in the middle of the defensive arc. Dead center. Rovira placed her hand on my arm.
Five, please sit.
I couldn't. How many entities are listed on that tip sheet of yours, Inquisitor?
13.
A devil's dozen. A suitably unlucky number. You can cross one name off, assuming the three counted as one. I met them at the southern edge of the spaceport. They were there to deliver a message, but I delivered mine first. Agrimunt's stare traversed from me to Rovira. The Primaris shrugged. She'd already warned me once. Inquisitor Agrimunt smoothed out her scroll and asked an insightful question.
What was its true name?
It was odd for the impossibility. How would any guard trooper know that? That thought stuck in my head as I replied, Conagon. Agrimunt nodded and crossed the name off of her list. Passing and leaned toward his senior commissar and murmured,
Unblooded.
That took some balls. Commissar Bleacher's artificial eye clicked in irritation. Rovira clarified the situation for those present.
Along with being a funnel, Five has certain skills that can counter the Felguard. He is anything but unblooded.
Inquisitor Agrimunt slid from surprised to skeptical.
Why the Hereticus collar?
He is unmarked.
Five was more than a name or a number. It was a way of life. That I held a certain sway with entities of the warp was part of the package.
Named entities?
Yes.
Is he stable?
Rovira caught my eye.
Remarkably so, but that wasn't always the case.
What is his Astra Telepathica rating?
It depends on who you ask. He has been judged anywhere from Delta Standard to Gamma Prime. His funnel ability greatly confuses things.
Agrimunt held out her hand.
That's an Ordo Hereticus collar. I'll assume responsibility for its use.
Rovira stood as I took a seat, proving that I should have never opened my mouth in the first place.
Inquisitor Agrimunt, I must decline. An agreement is in place putting the ownership of Five wholly under a Primaris of the Imperial Guard. It was signed by the Astra Telepathica, as well as the Ordos Hereticus and Malleus. I'll provide a copy of it for your review.
Commissar Bleacher cut in.
Please forgive the interruption, but what's this all about?
His junior commissar answered,
Sir, I believe they're negotiating whether or not Five's name will be added to the Inquisitor's list and calculating the odds to be assigned.
I, for one, couldn't have said it better.